Shalom liyudim, shalom lebnei noach, shalom legoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Erev Beis B'Nissan, Parashas Tazria, Tafshin Pei Dallas, 5784, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, April 9, 2024. You're listening to Phantom Nation, a.k.a. the program coming to you from Judea, that the post-Jews chose never to annex. They even thought of giving it back to the Ishmaelites in exchange for peace. Yeah, this has been the policy of mainstream Israel since 1967, left and right. This was the dream of the Oslo betrayers, collaborating in Oslo with some of the most anti-Semitic Europeans, Norwegians, whose last great contribution to mankind was giving the world the term Quisling. The Oslo betrayers admitted, at least one of them, that while they could only hope that their peace plan with the Palestinians, as they called them, would work, the plan at least blocks those religious Zionists from building more Jewish communities in Judea and Samaria and Gaza, what they call the West Bank, you know. The administered territories, that's another term. They wanted to get rid of the association that is connected to Judea, to Jewish. They saw themselves as Israelis. That was one of the first things I learned about some Israelis in the first generation of the state. I came here in its 17th teenage year. There were at least some of them who denied they were Jews at all. They said, that's a religion, and we're not religious. We're Israelis. And never mind that the origin of the name Israel is completely religious. In English, the last two letters contain a word for God. And their flag, these post-religionists, that flag is nothing but religious. In the middle, the Shield of David. No secular progressive he, that shield bordered by the stripes of a prayer shawl. Good thing happened on Friday in Dearborn, Michigan. A herd of Muslims, and I use the animal imagery on purpose, not a crowd, but a herd, who were chanting death to Israel, to which I say, ho-hum, what else is new? But also what was new, relatively, was death to America. And a lot of Americans have now seen with their own eyes just who these Muslims are. When I have for years wished the government would ban all immigration by Muslims to the United States on the basis of their polygamy, not their terrorism, not their anti-Semitism, just their polygamy. As the feds got Al Capone, not for being a bootlegger and a murderer, but failure to pay income tax, I say shining a spotlight on Muslim polygamy offers an opportunity to outlaw Islam. As in Germany, Nazism is outlawed. There was a heartwarming item today about Lara Trump, daughter-in-law of the former president, leading the Republicans now to organize and prepare for November, and the high probability the criminal, treasonous Democrats will try again to literally steal the election, which must not happen, or the U.S. is doomed to civil war. It was heartwarming to read she is right on target in this regard. Obama, Biden, the Clintons, Brennan, Comey, these are lowlife. Some with posh college degrees and fine clothes, but they remain lowlife for their lawless appetite for power. Their corruption. What corruption? The people at the top are so corrupt. When we learned that the FBI had in its possession Hunter Biden's laptop for a year before the election, I gasped and said to myself, that's it, it's over. When the FBI, once glorified as the incorruptibles, the untouchables, was exposed as having in its possession evidence that one of the two candidates that year for the presidency was on the payroll of the communist Chinese and kept that a secret from the electorate, I said to myself, that's it. The U.S. is finished. The FBI is a branch of the Treasury Department, and it also became clear in this muck that the Department of Justice, no less, was also corrupt to the bone in its refusal to prosecute Hillary Clinton for a slew of dreadful infractions of law, including having a private server which opened up the entire State Department email system to all enemies of the country, for deleting 30,000 emails that were government property, and ultimately collaborating with an ex-KGB spook to accuse the President of the United States of collaborating with Russia. That this woman is still walking around free is excellent evidence of America's corruption. However, today there was a spark of life and light in the gloom in the news of the president of Colombia, my alma mater, Dr. Minush Shafik. She has ordered the indefinite suspension and expulsion, really eviction from the university, from its housing, for behavior of four students who were, quote, disruptive, and they were guilty of endangerment, violation of law, and of university policy, close quote, for their behavior last month, disrespecting the university's denial of a facility to conduct one of their anti-Jew rallies, during which speakers, quote, supported terrorism and promoted violence. Indeed, twice the administration had denied their request, but they went ahead with their rally in any case. President Shafik, she's a native Egyptian with a very impressive career, and she said, quote, I want to state for the record that this event is an abhorrent breach of our values. I did not become president to punish students. At the same time, actions like this on our campus must have consequences. That I would ever have to declare that the following isn't itself surprising, but I want to make it clear that it is absolutely unacceptable for any member of this community to promise the use of terror and violence, close quote. That's, of course, what was done at that rally. The university surely, under her leadership, at that time, I believe, even called the police. And her order gave the four students 24 hours to clear out of their dorms or whatever housing arrangement they had. Under President Shafik, Colombia had also banned last month a couple of these Jew-hating Muslim Nazi groups. Just like the Nazis and Jew-haters throughout history, these groups spread whopping lies about alleged Jewish evil. In this case, at this event, was the usual charge of committing genocide. And there were cheers for Hamas at this meeting, as there were the other day in Dearborn, Michigan, which event I see as another spark of light. If some Americans had not known before just who these Muslims are, they got a glimpse. It was on display as they spewed their hatred of America as passionately as any Ayatollah in Tehran or Taliban in Afghanistan. At this illegal event at Columbia, a self-described Palestinian writer by the name of Khalid Barakat, who obviously, or cannot, we know this, he can't even write one word in the indigenous Palestinian language, this writer, this Palestinian writer. He spoke of his, quote, friends and brothers in Hamas, Islamic Jihad, the PFLP. His wife was there. She has an American name, Charlotte Cates. And she said, there is nothing wrong with being a member of Hamas, being a leader of Hamas, being a fighter in Hamas, close quote. Yeah, a fighter in Hamas. I touch on this behavior, this barbaric behavior, in my book. What civilized people experience as criminal terrorist murder of innocent people at random, these Muslims call it war, in which there's no distinction made between enemy soldiers and enemy noncombatants. And totally passing strangers. War is killing the enemy. That's all. They all deserve to die. The PFLP specialized in skyjacking and terrorizing people in commercial airliners. 9/11 in 2001, in that regard, was nothing new. Going into a skyscraper, that was new, but not hijacking planes. The Muslims had done that lots of times in the 1960s and 70s and 80s and 90s. What official Israel calls security prisoners, the enemy Muslims call soldiers. They are POWs in their eyes. War is killing the enemy. In the PLO, they would call their atrocities military operations. And here is this supporter of Hamas, this woman, going along with that. In her eyes, those Muslim brothers, Hamas, who were raping and mutilating helpless people on October 7th, doing it to children, she sees them, as her husband does, not as homicidal sex maniacs, but as fighters. This is how they fight, raping and mutilating of people who are not fighters. There is no fighting here. October 7th was not a military engagement by uniformed soldiers in two separate nations in uniform. It was not cold-blooded murder even, but just the opposite. I think of all the, I think all those demons were on drugs, and simply on fire, not cold-blooded, with sexual lust and no less lust for inflicting satanic horror and pain and fear in his victims. I did not see the IDF video, but somewhere some snippet of description in words, I can't remember the source, is a description of one of the monsters in somebody's kitchen raping and murdering a mommy in front of her little girl, maybe 4 years old, shrieking for her mommy. The cruelty of these Muslim Arabs is unmatched on the planet. Part of me would not object to every one of these Hamas monsters crucified or burnt at the stake. No, Yiddishkeit would not allow that, but I can fantasize, can't I?
למנצח על שושנים לבני קורח מזכיר שיר ידידו רחש ליבי דבר טוב אומר אני מעשי למלך לשוני את סופר מהיר יוף יופי תמיד מאדם זכן בשפתותיך על כן ברכך אלוהים לעולם חגוך הרבך על ירך גיבור אותך והדרך והדרך הצלח רחב על דבר אמת וענבה צדק ותורך נוראות ימיניך חיציך שנונים עמים תחתיך יפלו בלב אויבי המלך בלב אויבי המלך תיסחה אלוהים עולם ועד שבט מישור, שבט מלכותך אהבת צדק ותשנא רשע על כן משכך אלוהים אלוהיך שמן ססון מחברך יופי יופי תמיד בני אדם צחן בשפתותיך על כן ברכך אלוהים לעולם חגוך הרבך על ירך גיבור אותך בהדרך בהדרך הצלח רחב על דבר אמת וענבה צדת בתורך בלב אויבי המלך בלב אויבי המלך כל כבודה בת מלך ממה ממשבצות זהב לבושה כל כבודה בת מלך ממה ממשבצות זהב לבושה זאת זה
זהב לבושה, כל תוגה בת מלך פנימה, במשבצות זהב לבושה, כל תוגה בת
And that was Gabriel Hasson doing verses from Psalm 45. So, good for Colombia's President Shafiq, who may have learned from the public humiliation of other Ivy presidents, for their, I forgive them, womanly resistance to criticizing someone for his beliefs, such as the common Palestinian belief, it's the Jews who are the Nazis. So that in certain contexts, there's nothing wrong with calling for the Nazis' final solution. Everybody has their own ideas and opinions. And good for President Shafiq's expulsion of the four from Columbia Housing and School, because expulsion, we learned from Avraham Avinu, is the way you deal with the seed of Ishmael. Versus the secular Zionist aspiration to set aside religion and make friends with the Arabs, with the Palestinians. Surely our prime minister wants the best for the Palestinians in Gaza, he said so recently in so many words. It does not occur to him to just float the idea on the stage of international politics of relocating all the UNRWA freeloaders, not only out of Gaza, but Judea and Samaria as well, and send them to squat in the six Arab states who launched the war in 1948 and created the original Arab refugees, quote, quote, as they were called. They weren't yet called Palestinian refugees until the 1960s, because there was nothing Palestinian about them in 1948. They were largely migrant workers from all over the Middle East, not indigenous to Palestine. It is a tragic irony of Jewish history that the born-again state has suffered since 1948-49, from homicidal violence out of Gaza, supported by anti-Jew peoples from abroad, with the most important supporter of all being the post-religious state of Israel, whose people recoiled from Rabbi Meir Kahana for his demeanor, but also his refusal to wish for peace with the Arabs, but wish instead to see them leave our country, to expel them humanely. Indeed, it's another irony that the anti-Kanaites, against his political program, do not know that his was not that of a far-right fanatic, but was identical to the most progressive leftist views in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, population transfer as a humane way of lessening friction between peoples. Instead, secular Zionism has gone along with the idea of the atheists that the enemy is the Palestinians, a people like any other, and thus logically entitled to their own state and what they believe is their ancient homeland, which lie the Jewish and Israeli left has gone along with by calling them Palestinians. Here's the lead sentence from a Jerusalem Post hard copy article yesterday. Quote, a Palestinian man shot at passing vehicles near Nabi Ilyas in the northern West Bank on Sunday, seriously wounding a female soldier around 20 years old, close quote. Yeah, I reported on that attempted murder on Sunday evening, but what matters most here to the topic at hand is the official Israeli mind on display here. The lead sentence begins, a Palestinian man, when the truth is there's nothing Palestinian about this guy with the gun, nothing Palestinian about any of them. Don't Israelis know that every time they or anyone calls these Arabs Palestinians, you respect their fantasy in which we Jews stole this country from them? They are the Palestinians. And even worse, to call Judea and Samaria the West Bank? That's to join the Nazis at Auschwitz, who took away our human Jewish names and instead burnt serial numbers into our forearms. The name West Bank is like a serial number at Auschwitz, exterminating the Jewishness of this particular piece of real estate. Oslo, in the minds of the atheists, Balin, Peres, Rabin, a whole lot of them, This was the West Bank. As Esav sold his birthright for a bowl of lentils, so the Israeli and Jewish left have tried to give away Judea and Samaria in the belief that the recipients are nationalists just like us Zionists, pining for an independent state. And never mind, there has never been a parallel book in the Palestinian language to Herzl's The State of the Jews, plotting out steps needed to create a state. These Arabs are nothing but thieves, who, when the Jews were not here, ruled over a barren wasteland and did nothing with it and turned Jerusalem into a stinking slum. But after the Jews returned and brought it all back to life, oh, how they love their ancient beloved Palestine! And because official Israel has never gone to war in the war of words and ideas with the enemy, yesterday, the UN Security Council, the de facto global government on planet Earth, discussed the desire of its members to declare Judea and Samaria rightfully belonging to the ancient ones, who have the identical right of the Jews to a state in ancient Philistia, which, by the way, is an historical mistake, even on my part. There never was in history a country called Philistia. Philistia is Latin. That was the invention, probably, of Jerome in the 5th century, translating the Hebrew word Pilashet, when historically the Philistines likely themselves never called where they lived here Philistia or Palestine. For sure, the reference is to where the Philistines settled, but likely they never called that Palestine or Philistia, the Philistines did. They were just more prehistoric Hamitic invaders. The word Hebrew, the Hebrew biblical word Pelashet, comes from the verbal root to invade. The Philistines just ultimately means the invaders. And that Israel has never shot down the fantasy of a Palestinian nation with presumptive national rights to a state in our promised land is the reason why Biden and Sullivan and their Jew boy Blinken press for driving the Jews from Judea and Samaria, and why the members of the United Nations Security Council, these parasitical diplomats who produce nothing of value in life, yesterday they were solemnly discussing recognizing Judea and Samaria as the independent state of ancient Palestine. With Israel no help in this regard. Last week, traditionally Roman Catholic Spain and Roman Catholic Ireland announced they would work toward recognition of a Palestinian state. Likewise, joining them were Roman Catholic Malta and Roman Catholic Slovenia, to which religiously empty official Israel issued a statement saying a Palestinian state, quote, would only be a prize for terrorism. Terrorism is not the enemy. It is Islam and its war against the existence of this still vital Jewish nation. The proper Jewish response is not that this would be a prize for terrorism. More properly, Israel needs to say, Judea and Samaria are legally, in international non-Jewish law, Jewish land. But also, it's Jewish land morally and religiously. It is in the heart of the Jewish religion, this real estate. And by the way, there is no Palestinian people. That's just another anti-Semitic fantasy.
יש לומר להם כמה יפים הם כמה יפים הם שהם קמים לומר להם יפה הוא העולם יפה הוא העולם יפה הוא העולם יפה הוא העולם אני משתוקק לראות את היום שילדים קמים להפסיק אותם ולחבק אותם ולומר להם כמה יפים הם כמה גדולה הזכות להיות ההורים שלהם יפים הם, כמה יפים הם, שהם קמים לומר להם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם, יפה הוא העולם.
And that was Yehuda Glantz, a native of Argentina, singing about watching children sleep and how much you want to hug and kiss them. And you're listening to the program on PhantomNation.com. Yeah, Israel needs to update its vocabulary. Official Israel could benefit from reprogramming its politicians nevermore to call these Muslims Palestinians, not when the majority of them support the non-Palestinian movement called Hamas, which is the Muslim Brotherhood. That has nothing to do with nationalism. It might be nice as well to inform such as Antony Blinken that Israel will no longer recognize the Palestinian identity. Just last Friday, late in the day, so that official Israel would be unlikely able to respond, preparing for the Shabbat and into the Shabbat, Blinken reversed the policy of Trump and Blinken's predecessor in the job, Pompeo, according to which Jewish life in Judea and Samaria is inconsistent with international law, said Blinken, which on one hand is a monstrous lie, but on the other perfectly true, when rephrased as inconsistent with international feeling about the Jews as evildoers who stole Palestine from the Palestinians. For sure it is the international consensus that the Palestinians have been the victims of the Zionists. Prior to the Zionists, Palestine was a lush and settled, lovingly cared for ancient prehistoric land loved and cared for by the prehistoric Palestinians. Not that I think Mr. Blinken has any sense of the anti-Semitism of his views. Where is it written that it's wrong for Jews to live in Judea and Samaria, bothering nobody? Not one of the new communities post-1967 dispossessed any Arab from his home, made him homeless. All of the new settlements were built on empty land. House Speaker Republican Mike Johnson said in response to Blinken's unacknowledged anti-Semitism, quote, "The Jewish people have a historic and legal right to live in the land of Israel, including in Judea and Samaria, the biblical heartland. It is a disgrace the Biden administration would issue this decision as Israel fights terrorists on multiple fronts that seek Israel's destruction and more than 130 hostages remain in Gaza, close quote. Senator Tom Cotton said, quote, the Pompeo Doctrine simply recognized reality. Judea and Samaria are the homeland of the Jewish people. And I ask, why aren't more Israeli politicians speaking this way? Where is the Prime Minister speaking in such terms and denying the existence of another people with a legitimate claimant to our land? That was last Friday, the day before Blinken claimed Israel was becoming like the terrorist organization Hamas. Quote, indistinguishable was a word he used. And why? Because Israel is not protecting civilians. And I await the day the Prime Minister insists that Israel is not obligated to protect enemy civilians any more than the U.S. protected the civilians in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Israel needs to declare that all bloodshed in Gaza, Jewish and Muslim blood, is on the head of the barbarians who started this conflict.
Hallelujah. הללו כל בקודשו הללו ברכיה וזור הללו בגבורותה הללו קרוב גודלו הללו בתקע שופר הללו בנבל וכינור הללו בתוף ומחול הללו במינים ועוגב הללו בצלצלי שמע הללו בצלצלי תרועה כל הנשמה תהלל כה אוי הללו כה Hallelujah Hallelujah kel be kodsho Hallelujah birkia uzo Hallelujah big vota Hallelujah shofar Hallelujah benevel vechinor Hallelujah betof umachol Hallelujah beminim veugav Hallelujah betzilzelei shama Hallelujah betzilzelei trua Oy kol anshama tehalelka Hallelujah, big vota,
נשמה הללו בצלצלי תרועה אוי כל הנשמתי הלקה אוי הללוקה הללו בצלצלי שמה הללו בצלצלי תרועה אוי כל הנשמתי הלקה
And that was Joseph Carduna doing the last of the Psalms, Psalm 150. Okay, that's it for this weekly freebie podcast. For those who want three podcasts a week, please subscribe at phantom-nation.com. And if you're still subscribed after a year, the subscription becomes free. You might also want to check out what others have called the best book ever on the war against Israel. Some have called it a literary masterpiece as well. Phantom Nation, inventing the Palestinians as the obstacle to peace. Until next week, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.